Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Look, you want to make sure your insurance agent knows you. I want my insurance agent to know me, my needs, about my car, about my home, about any other insurance that I need. Just like I would expect them to know all about you. I just told you in a nutshell, Purdy Insurance. That's who they care about. Every customer individually. So, go to Purdy Insurance at purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk Major League Baseball last half hour. Final half hour, we'll talk Penn State football. This half hour, we're going to talk about pro football. And we're going to talk with Ken Marangola from hogshaven.com. We have Ken on the line yet?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Yes. Hey, Ken, how are you today? It's great to have you with us.
As always, it's a pleasure, my friend.
All right. All right, I think you know what topic number one has to be. So what is the health of RG3 at this stage?
I mean, you can see it in his face. I mean, he still might have, you know, the health a guy might be having at the beginning of a season, which is to say he hasn't endured 17 weeks of pain. But that's not the way he looked coming off the field last Thursday night. I don't know. I mean, he might be healthy enough to play physically, but you got to wonder about his mental health at this point in time, don't you?
I would. At the same time, I'd be very concerned about what he has up front. How concerned are you about the offensive line just as a base unit?
Well, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but it's the story's way better than it was last year. I'm actually pretty excited. Now, there was no Trent Williams. We got the excuse list, right, of what happened. I mean, no Trent Williams, that's huge. You know, not having DeSean Jackson on the field, it changes the way defense is even allowed to attack you. And then you got two young guys on the right side, essentially two inexperienced guys in Morgan Moses and Brandon Scherff on the right side, learning on the fly. It looked terrible. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was transported back to last season. Right away, it felt exactly like every week last year felt, with the hits he was taking and the lack of time he had. I think our offensive line is going to be better. I think it's going to be improved. I think you're going to see us run the hell out of the ball somewhat effectively, and hopefully that helps our passing game out. But I mean I'm putting a lot of faith right now because that's not the way it looked on Thursday.
Scherff was a pick I really liked because he can play guard or tackle for you. What are the early returns on him?
You know, everyone's going to get upset that you drafted a guy as high as we drafted Scherff and you're going to put him at guard. I think he's going to be a great professional football player. I think he can start for you for 10 years, and whether it's a guard or tackle, it doesn't matter to me. If he's going to play at a high level, we need guys who can play at a high level at all the spots. I think he's mean. I think he's nasty. I think he can run block with the best of them. And I think, like, every single guy who comes into the league, no matter how good they are, no matter if they had Kirk Ferentz and University of Iowa pedigree, they're still going to have to learn the intricacies of pass protection in the NFL. And he's going to get a crash course because where do you think they're going to line up in Dominican Sue in week one? I mean, they're going to put Sue right across from him. So he's going to learn fast. Sure. But I think he's going to do just fine.
I thought it was an excellent pick, Ken. After watching him at Iowa, he has the quickness to play guard. He absolutely has the physical strength to play guard. I thought it was a really good pick that really helped the Redskins with a need.
I was yelling Scherff since January, and I was getting killed for it. He's the guy that I wanted. I think me and you even talked about it on this show. People said it was too high to pick him. I'm with you, man. I think he's going to be he is going to help us get that offensive line back on track.
There are certain elements that come into play here. We talked about RG3. That issue aside, I think it's well documented. What has kept Kirk Cousins from really settling in and being not great, but a good NFL quarterback? What's held him back?
Well, all right, so let's just talk in general first, because you got a lot of people listening that work at companies that aren't fun to work at. They go to their day job and they come home at night and they say, you know what, today stunk because my boss is terrible, the environment's awful, the water cooler, the water's not even cold, there's no tissues in the tissue box. I mean, I think the Washington Redskins have, let's just say Dan Snyder, has created an environment that over the years has become a perfect place for players to fail. I think it's a terrible, terrible thing. I think they can get better, and I think Scott McLuhan is putting things in the right direction. But when you look at individual players who you and I would agree, had they gone somewhere else, they might be performing at a different level. They might be doing something different. They might be more successful. Kirk Cousins is a classic example of that. We know that over half the GMs in the league wanted this guy in the draft at some place in the second, third, or fourth round. We know it because they've all said it. He came here, and of course he had the RG3 business. But, you know, to your question specifically, he had his chance last year, and shoot, he couldn't stop throwing it to the other team, and no one can explain it. I think there's a toxicity in the organization that I think is becoming less of a case. But I absolutely blame it for some of these players. And on the other side, you know, when you have so much air being sucked up by one guy in every single facet of life that RG3 has in 3 years, I think it becomes hard to breathe for a guy like Kirk Cousins. And I hope that it won't stop him from becoming the player that we think he can be. So far it has.
Tim Tebow sucks the life out of the room no matter what happens. For example, the other day, CBSSportsLine.com headline, Tebow misses open guy in end zone. He's battling to be the third string quarterback. But I will say this in fairness to Tim Tebow. It's only because it's him. It's not because he's demanding that people look at me. He doesn't do that. Is RG3 such a magnet because it's him, or does he demand that kind of attention?
When he first came here, I didn't want to believe that this was the case. I saw a guy who was humble. I see a guy that's humble. You know, appears to have, you know, been brought up by in a good family. You know, kind of understands some general things about life that a lot of these athletes we come across don't seem to have a handle on at all. RG3 is different than that. I think that he does. I think he's genuinely a good person. However, he has struggled with insecurity. I don't know if it's a self-esteem issue, but he has at various times in his last 3 years gone out of his way to put himself in front of cameras, in front of microphones, at the head of events. I mean, shoot, there's days when he's not scheduled to talk, and he talks to his own detriment. I think he is responsible in many ways for a lot of this that's going on, and you could put the blame on him because he's a man and his actions are his to own. But the Redskins' PR department is a disaster. A disaster. Tony Wiley's been standing next to him on national TV for the last 3 years. He's the head of Redskins' PR, and yet RG3 continues to be a PR nightmare. That speaks to the Redskins' PR department. It speaks to their ability to manage their own public relations and to help a guy get out of his own way. And this is a deadly combination. You know, he's been treated more like a commodity that they have sprinkled, you know, out. They're saying, you want access to RG3, what are you going to give us? You want to talk to this guy, what are we going to get out of it? It's high school. It's terrible. And they're all complicit in it. And RG3's, you know, insecurity and his, the feeling that he's had, where he feels he's got to be the guy in every single aspect, has hurt him considerably.
I know talent is the name of the game, Ken, but why side Junior Gallette?
It's a great question. I stay away from these guys, especially in this day when it's just too easy to know, you know, things that have taken place around these guys, and you know what people are going to do and say and think about it. And it's a tough one, man, because it looks like at the end of the day, charges will be dropped or there won't be, you know, trials are no longer on. I mean, does that make it right? I don't think so. But it's a real hard one, Steve, because as a fan, you want to root for good guys. You know, you want to root for, sure, for guys that you could live next to and raise your kids around. But you know what? The closer you get to the game, the more you see it's a violent underside and underbelly, and it's a visceral extreme. And I'm not trying to defend it or make excuses, but sure, when you have a game like this, sometimes there's aspects to people that will never come out because they'll never be, you know, involved in a life like that. But when you are, you are. And maybe my words mean nothing right now, and maybe I'm trying to even justify the part of me that wants to root for Junior Gallet. I don't know, sure, but it's a tough spot to find yourself in as a fan.
Yeah, I have a little better insight into how the whole thing operates at the moment because Jim Haslett's here as a consultant, so I see Jim on an everyday basis. I have great respect for him. Can Junior Gallet, let's just take it from a pure football point of view, can he make that defense better?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you need players. You need guys. We don't have players. We don't have guys. So the only way you get there is with talent, and he brings it.
What does Ryan Kerrigan need to do to actually take the next step? I thought he got off to a great start in the league, but I feel like Ryan has plateaued in the league. What does he need to do to get off the plateau and be more effective?
Well, I'll tell you what. The guy shows up. He plays in every game. He's getting sacks. I think he causes problems. It might be an unfair thing to say that he needs to get that much better to justify anything. But I think, okay, that to your point, for him to be, you know, to get to the next level, to be that face of a team, to where, you know, you think Texans, you think Watt. I'm not going to compare Ryan Kerrigan to J.J. Watt, but you get the idea, like a guy who you don't need a name because you see his face and it says it all, dominance, you know, amazing performances, highlights. You know, maybe the answer is, you know, he needs to have a couple guys around him that you know, like Terrence Knighton and right, Stephen Pay. And, you know, maybe he needs a couple guys to keep his jersey clean for an extra second so that, you know, he can make that run to a running back in the backfield or, you know, an offensive coordinator has somebody else to worry about. Because I think what the truth is I think people weren't necessarily afraid of Brian Arakpo the way they were when he first came into the league. And all of a sudden, you see Kerrigan, you know, getting manhandled by two guys, and you know, it's hard to take the next step in the league when you gotta get to that next step through two or three guys.
That is an excellent point. That is an excellent point. It's amazing when you can work one on one, you can get it done. And they are putting two guys on because he's a player I like very much. Finally, the secondary. Yes. How do you view the Redskins secondary, especially when you consider the division they have to play in, where they're going to have to go out there and play six games against the Sam Bradfords, the Eli Mannings, and the Tony Romos?
I mean, it's a huge weakness for us, and it has been. And again, it comes down to horses. You know, we've been short on to some extent talent and bodies. I think Chris Culliver is just a huge, huge addition. He can tackle. He's not like, you know, the top shutdown cornerback. But he's an elite cover man. He puts his nose in when he gets near a guy with the ball, and it looks like he goes about his business in a way that you want some of the other younger guys to figure out how to do themselves. That's step one. Rashad Breeland, he's got to make the next step, but he's shown he can be that guy. You know who's what's making me unsettled is David Amerson. Mm-hmm. You want him if he can be a solid number three guy, you know, I think our secondary would all of a sudden look pretty darn good, at least compared to last year. But already in preseason, you're seeing him, you know, not tackle. And that's, I mean, that's a problem. It's a huge problem. And you worry about that. And then you need safeties to help these guys. And then, you know, sure enough, you just put your finger on probably one of our biggest weaknesses. They're trying out guys. You got Iheanacho's looking halfway decent. You got Deshaun. You got Jaron. I mean, you have guys, but until we see it, until there's an understanding and a chemistry, because if you look back over the last couple seasons, some of the biggest plays that we've given up, game breaking, you know, plays that made us lose games. A lot of times you saw a corner and a safety not communicating, and we're not talking about Richard Sherman communicating with Earl Thomas. You know, we're talking about, you know, right. No name communicating with no name. And I love these guys. It's my team, but I mean, you see it, and it's troubling. So you want to get there somehow, some way. And that safety, I think that's where we really got to get there.
Yeah, part of the name of the game in today's football is sub packages, and that's what we just talked about there. Ken, thanks so much. Can't wait to talk with you again. Always enjoy the chats very much.
Hey, man, have a great week, and we'll get it done on Saturday night against the Ravens for you, man.
All right, sounds great. Thank you, Ken.
All right, see you later.
Ken Marangola from hogshaven.com. Coming up, we'll tell you a little bit about what we have going on in the next couple of weeks here, and we're also going to talk in the final half hour why I think this has been the best camp I've seen since 2008. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
0-66.
The winning play is at Sunbury Motors Kia.
0% financing for 66 months.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optimas, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0-66.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Our thanks to Charlie Wilmoth, MLBTrading.com. The waiver deadline coming up in 1 week. This is the time you set rosters for the postseason. And also our thanks to Ken Marangola from Hogshaven.com on the Redskins. We have a lot coming up. Next Monday, for example, beat writers will be on the show. We already have Bob Flounders, Patriot News, Donnie Collins from Scranton, Rich Scarcella from Reading are all going to join us on the show as we get ready for Penn State Temple. Harry Donahue, play-by-play voice of Temple, on next week. Jack Hamm joins us next week as well for Penn State Temple. And Thursday, our roundtable, our on-air version of the roundtable, 3:35 to 4, we'll have the announcers that will call the games on Sunbury Broadcasting, the preview high school football, Selins Grove, Lewisburg, Milton, and Chickalemme. And you're saying, well, what about my school? Well, your school may be involved in the game, which we'll talk about, but at the same time, those are the announcers of the games that we will be carrying on Sunbury Broadcasting. WMLP will carry Milton. We'll have Lewisburg on 100.7. We're going to have Sealands Grove on the Eagle 107, and of course Shikellamy here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Kevin doing his usual great job on the games. So we will have that for you every week as a primer to get ready for the games that you'll see on Friday night. We're 10 days away now from the start of the college football season. Among the games on September 3rd will be that game at Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake City when Utah hosts Michigan in the Jim Harbaugh debut. Michigan does not have any wideouts. They have a really, really good offensive line. They've had mixed results so far in preseason from quarterback. Derek Green's back at tailback, whom I like, but is not universally liked. Defensively, they're not bad, Michigan. Defensively, not bad. Question is, I'm not so sure how many points they can score. Even though they have such a good offensive line, I'm not so sure how many points they can score. So, Kevin typed me a message. I think I got them all right, Kev.
I was trying to type as you were saying it. I can't type fast enough. I have slow fingers.
I think I ad-libbed it. I think we're fine.
Wish I could ad-libbed.
Yeah, the company was talking to me about that.
Every time I ad-lib, they get the delay button ready.
A lot of Penn State football talk the final half hour. Why do I think this has been the best preseason I've seen since 2008 in many regards? I'll talk about it next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Look, I want my insurance agent to know me, simply. I want to know my needs, what my budget happens to be, and get the best insurance I possibly can. And you know what? They do that with everybody. Everybody. Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Dominican Republic beat Oregon today 7-3 at the Little League World Series. Last night's Pennsylvania win was unbelievable and fun to watch. Redland had a 6-0 lead. South Carolina battled back, got to within 6-4, took the lead 8-6 with a 4-run sixth inning, only to watch Redland come back and score 3 in the bottom of the sixth and win the game 9-8 last night. What a great win for the Pennsylvania team in last night's game. I mean that place was hopping last night. 18 hits between the two teams, 7 extra base hits, all right, 3 lead changes. And Jaden Henlein had a 2-run double off David Clark that brought home Adam Kramer and Braden Kalmansberger, and they won. So that is what a dramatic win last night at the Little League World Series for Pennsylvania. Place was hopping. The hill was completely filled.
Does that set up the showdown then with San Diego, the team from the Southwest?
Or if they're both in the
Southwest. I meant the West.
I believe it does.
I have to check the bracket because I know that was the showdown that we were kind of all talking about when the series started. because those teams had averaged so many runs.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, from an offensive standpoint alone, that's what that's the talk. I mean, just the offensive standpoint.
But how do you know about what these are little league teams?
I understand that. My point is that they, and it is Mid-Atlantic Southwest tomorrow night. But just by the fact that in the regional tournament, I think it was the team from the Southern California area was averaging 12 runs in the regional tournament, 12 runs a game. That's actually really impressive in a regional tournament. And Mid-Atlantic, I think, was averaging nine Kevin, in their tournament.
But Kevin, what if the regional isn't that good?
Well, and I realize that, but you have to admit, from what you've seen in the first three game, or the first two games these teams, there's some offense.
Now, yes, but Pennsylvania almost lost last night.
Well, the team from the Southeast is not a bad team either.
I'm saying, though, but you don't know until you actually see these teams play.
I thought that South Carolina team had some really good hitters on that team.
Yeah, well, they're not out of it yet.
No, they are not. They'll have to play actually, I think the game just got underway with Great Lakes.
Yes, they're playing Kentucky today. So, see, this is where pitching becomes an issue because, for example, Pennsylvania had to take out their starting pitcher. Turned out his 85th pitch was the final pitch of the fifth inning. They had to go to the bullpen. And, you know, this is where the pitch limits come in. But to go into the series, these are the teams we can't wait to watch. What? I'm smart enough to know that I don't know anything about them. Okay.
I was watching them I watched both these teams in the regional tournament. I really liked the way they hit the ball. I wanted to see them match up.
Yeah, but Kevin, how do you know how good the teams are they're facing?
You don't.
Voila.
But you assume that there are good teams because they're already at the regional. It's like when you get into the baseball playoffs.
Yes, Tony Randall. And when you take the word assume and you break it down in three ways, exactly tell me how it works out.
You assume that these are decent teams or they wouldn't be in the regional.
But that doesn't matter. Okay? It could be a weak regional. You don't know.
I suppose you're right. I have to concede it could be.
It could be the strongest of strong regionals and they're just that good, or it could be a weak regional and they're just much better than the other guys. I don't know. It's Little League, okay? It's supposed to be fun, and you know what? The Little League World Series is fun. Last night's game was a blast to watch.
I'll tell you what.
See Redland come back and win like that. They have to be thrilled. The parking attendants may not be thrilled, but I think those who want to see a great crowd in South Williamsport. And the unfortunate thing with the games tomorrow night,
right?
The unfortunate thing is I'll be in Williamsport tomorrow and I won't get a chance to see it.
So. The biggest issue they've been having is for these Mid-Atlantic games, at least the one over the weekend, they actually handed out tickets for that game. The morning, I believe it was Sunday morning, starting at 9 a.m. Now, that's for the stadium itself, for the seats in the stadium. But because of what they learned over the last couple of years, they did not want a long line and a mob of people trying to get in the stadium to grab a seat. So they did tickets, which are still free, but they had to do tickets. Listen, I don't think tomorrow night's game will not be the first time these two teams meet, or the last time, rather, these two teams meet in this tournament.
Don't know.
Take my word for it. You'll have to trust me on this. And I also believe Japan and Latin America will see each other again.
Well, I'll be up there tomorrow, but I won't get a chance to see it. So I'll be up there tonight, as a matter of fact. I really wanted to take in a game. We tried to do the show there. Hello? Hello out there in the wilderness? All right. Why do I think this now we'll go from that to why I think this is the best training camp I've seen since 2008. And it's there's several items. The 2008 team is a bit different than this team. It was a more veteran team, especially in the offensive line. AQ Shipley, Gerald Cadogan, guys like them. That's the difference. Now, they had a quarterback that had never started a game. Right? Had never started a game in Darrell Clark. But the tone and tenor of this camp has been impressive. The athleticism in this camp has been impressive. The excitement level in this camp has been impressive. The fact that I think they're better over the past couple of weeks has been impressive. There's no question that the offensive line is the area that, bears watching. But I will say this in fairness to the offensive line. I do not believe that they will face another defensive line comparable to what they're seeing on an everyday basis right now until they see Ohio State October 17th. And that's something I think that has to be taken into account when you talk about the offensive line and what kind of progress they're making. Because the defensive front that they're going against is the best defensive front they're going to see for the first month and a half of the season, what they see every day. The speed and athleticism at wideout is apparent. The speed and athleticism in the secondary is apparent. There's more depth on this football team. So you're not struggling with the issue of depth. You're not struggling with the issue of athleticism. And with that in mind, the tone of the camp has been what I hoped it would be, and it's really been the best tone of camp I've seen since 2008. I just like the way it has operated so far, the way they've gone about their business. There are moments where the offense has done really well. There are moments where the defense has done really well. There is some depth on this football team. And not only is it depth, it's athletic depth. Now, the big difference between 2008 and today is the experience level on the 2008 football team. That was an experienced football team, except for the quarterback spot with Darrell Clark. But after watching the first week to 10 days of Darrell Clark that year in spring ball, remember, Darrell Clark asked me one time, he said, when did you think I won the job over Pat Devlin? And I said, 10 days into spring practice. You just tell he's just better. You know, for what Penn State wanted to do, he's just better. And so I really had no issue about how well Darrell Clark would play, and especially with that offensive line. And you had the all-time leading rusher in Evan Royster on that team. And you had Stephon Green behind him. And, you know, that was just a really good football team. A dominant defensive tackle in Jared Odrick. You have two dominant defensive tackles here in Zetelin Johnson. And I'm not saying that this team is going to have the same kind of season as the A-team did, because the A-team ended up winning the Big Ten championship going to the Rose Bowl. I'm not saying that, because the big difference on this team is that half of the players on the team, I want to say 39 of the 78 recruited scholarship players, are either freshmen or redshirt freshmen. They've never played in a game before. That's a huge difference. But in terms of the tone, the tempo, the athleticism, the execution in the camp, it's the best one I've seen since then. And it goes directly to, obviously, to James Franklin, what he and his staff have done. But they have been very organized, very on point, and the players have been very on point with what they wanted to do in the camp. And they've done some really good things. And there's a lot of talent out on the field. Now, it's young talent, and in some cases it's raw talent. But you have more depth now at linebacker. You've had depth on the defensive line the entire time. You have more depth now at linebacker. You have more depth in the secondary. You certainly have depth now at the wide receiver spot. You have depth at tailback. And you've got some speed at tailback, too. Haven't had any speed at tailback the last 3 years. Haven't had any speed at tailback. None. I'm talking about for FBS football. Zach Zwinek was really great straight-ahead stuff and straight-line stuff, really good. Bill Belton, Had some good moments, and Bill Belton had too many pedestrian moments. And, you know, part of that was the offensive line. Part of that was him. Well, it's a different stable of running backs now. Mark Atlin is a nifty back when he runs. Nick Scott has some jump to him. Jonathan Thomas has some power to him. Saquon Barkley has a lot of everything to him. Andre Robinson is a really good back. And, of course, there's Akil Lynch. Lynch has had a really good camp. Really good. All right. We'll come back. More in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Plus, stunningly, I really like the Sunbury Motors guys a lot. Not just a little, but a lot. But they keep letting you drive a vehicle. We'll talk about that in a moment.
All right. Reggie Wayne has signed a one-year deal with the Patriots. John Harbaugh lashes out at the Eagles over their Terrell Suggs criticism, and Chip Kelly says it's troubling if quarterbacks in the shotgun can be hit. Chip, we're not stupid. He's running the read option, okay? Well, guess what? You know, you can play all the mind games you want. I could care less. I am not beholden to the Eagles in one way, shape, or form. You're running the read option. You're a football player. You're allowed to be hit. You wish to risk your quarterback, that's your concern. He was not running a shotgun play. Okay? It wasn't. You want to run the read option with your quarterbacks, expect them to be hit. This is the National Football League, which means not for long. If you keep running the read option with your quarterback.
You had the same football follies thought I did.
Okay. You're driving a Kia Sorento this week?
Yeah, this week we are featuring the 2016 Kia Sorento. It is cherry in color, which I'll tell you what, is a really nice color. It's not really a red. It's kind of a really deep maroon, I guess would be the best way to describe it. Find out more. You can see it on my Facebook page, also at Kevin Herr on Twitter, and you'll also find out how you can get 0% for up to 66 months on most vehicles, including the Sorento, where they also have $750 Kia finance cash with that low APR. And if you'd like to go out 72 months, the interest rate is only 1.9%. They're trying to get rid of 30 vehicles on the lot before the end of the month. That's 1 week from today. So they're making some serious deals. And I'll tell you what, the sticker price is not what is on the little sign hanging on the rearview mirror of those vehicles at Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk more about the Sorento throughout the week.
What was Chris Carter thinking when he addressed the Vikings?
That's a great question.
Now, we're in a world where everybody calls for everybody's head. Everybody calls for suspensions. But, look, ESPN can handle it internally. That's fine with me. You know, he's apologized for it. He now gets it. He's seen the videotape. But, you know, you're going to look at a group of people and just assume they're going to get in trouble. Oh, and by the way, we'll make sure there's a fall guy, and then we'll get him out of jail later. That's the advice you give? Here's one for you. Okay? Let's just play back that quote from the great philosopher Jim Carrey from Liar Liar. Stop breaking the law. Hey? Realize who you are. Remember, he's talking to a room of alleged role models. They may not want to accept the role of being a role model. I understand that completely. But, you know, and should athletes be role models? I mean, really. I mean, the people within your own household should be a role model. But there are people that do look up to them as to what they do, and they are followed with great, great scrutiny. And make sure they understand they're being followed with great, great scrutiny. And just stay within the parameters. Have to realize that if they jaywalk, they're going to have it written up in the paper, justifiably or not.
Let them know that. Don't say pick out a fall guy and Warren Sapp's up there. I don't think that helps the video either. He's apologized for it. He realizes what he did and what he said was wrong. And I think he gets it. Part of the problem that he does have is that he, whenever he's on, he does moralize a lot. To his credit, I thought he gave some great on-air advice when it came to Adrian Peterson last year. Gave some great insight, I thought, for that.
Didn't he have some comments that were also drew some criticism regarding the Jets and Geno Smith?
If he did, I didn't hear them.
I thought it was Chris Carter that said something, you know, that brought to the attention kind of one thing that you and I had talked about. Why is it that your quarterback is drawing the ire of anybody? Shouldn't he be the team leader? And it was kind of along that line.
Sure. He's not the number one guy I turn to for whatever, but at the same time, I think he's done some good things. This was not one of them. Is it a career-threatening thing? No. Sick of career-threatening things. The Jackie Robinson West Little League was given over $300,000 in donations. Wow. How about that? The former U.S. champion. The IRS is the one that uncovered this. The money has allowed the organization, which won last year's Little League World Series and later was accused of cheating, to build more than $200,000 in cash reserves, the Chicago Sun-Times reported. The club had only $5,619 in its reserves the previous year. The team's yearly not-for-profit filing with the IRS shows it took in $324,000 in donations, $14,000 in fees from players from October 2013 to September 2014. However, the full amount won't be known until disclosed by the team. They say it's inappropriate to comment on that. Sure, but the Little League has over $300,000. Great.
I know Little Leagues that are doing fundraisers right now for next year so they have enough money to turn on the lights.
Yeah, it's okay. They're doing candy sales. $324,000 in donations. $14,000 in fees. They've got $338,000.
That's more than some Division I college football programs.
Oh, my goodness. They've got more money to spend the UAB. Charlie Wilma, thank you. Ken Murugolo, thank you.